I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root artist feature. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Tracy Morrell. Tracy, how are you?
Doing fantastic.
Tracy, what is it about the female body that really gives you inspiration or really makes you want to investigate further?
One is that I am a female, so I'm more familiar with the female body. Second is it is just an absolute beautiful. It's beautiful. Every element of the female body is beautiful. And art has always appreciated it. And I would say you don't see a lot of male nudes out there, but you definitely will see a lot of female nudes. So it is something that has been a deep part of the art community from every level. But for me, it's just something that I gravitated to, the figure, the female figure. I'm a self-taught artist. So when I started drawing, that's what I drew, not very well, was the female body. And it was natural. It was more intuitive than it was something that I kind of mapped out strategically. I did flowers and stuff like that. But I've always been fascinated with the female body and how in just about every instance there is so much that it conveys strength, grace. I mean, that's where children come from. There's a nurturing element, which is part of my personality, and I try to represent that.
So in the context of popular culture and the media, your work often seeks to maybe push back against or refute maybe some of the stereotypes. In what way are you addressing that?
On a number of levels. First of all is that I'm constantly horrified how women are portrayed in the media in negative ways. This all started with, I was in the music industry, and I was passing out some promotional material, and I was just sick and tired of seeing the video girls with the high heel pumps on, crouching down with a butt out and a breast, thrust out, and that look on her face. And that was the image that all the rappers were using, and it was kind of getting on my nerves. I was just like, really? That's the only way you're going to be able to promote your music is that you have another young sister on this sticker or flyer in this very unflattering, titillated pose. And I'm just realizing this. That's when I started focusing on the female body because I wanted to show the other side of the female image.
So when it comes to appreciation of mm-hmm. the female image, in your mind, in that context, when does appreciation of the female form, when does it become a negative?
You know, I would ask questions. Like, would you want your daughter, your sister, your mother to be in that pose? If we're substituting her face for that image, how would that make you feel? And this is how I would be talking to males. And if they would have a problem with it, I was like, so why don't you think I have a problem with that? So it has to do with just the way sometimes it's the dress that is highlighting just the flesh itself, the objectification of women is a line for me. When you stop seeing that person as a person and you only see them as an object of desire, an object of exploitation, because a lot of exploitation that's going on in the media as well as in our society through images, as well as in, the physical realm. So when it crosses those lines, it's really gray. You know, a lot of my images are strong and they do have a sexual element to it, but I feel like I'm able to straddle that fine line that it doesn't go into the exploitive area.
So in those conversations that you had with men about those images, mm-hmm. was it the distance from the the subject of that image that made it easier for them to have that on display? And I mean that from a standpoint of if it wasn't their sister or their cousin, if it was another woman who was distant from them from a relationship standpoint, it made it easier for them to put them on display.
That's part of it. And the other part of it is that everybody was doing it. It was acceptable. It was the norm. I mean, nobody was challenging. There was very few challenging going on. I know in my career of promoting, there's only one instance when I absolutely refused to pass out some promotional material because it was so objectionable to me. But even as I was promoting, because my livelihood was dependent on it, there was it was accepted.
But would you ever have conversations with the women if you ever came across them about their participation in that moment?
Sometimes. There are very few opportunities where I could have that level of deep conversation. Because by the time I was in a position where there was a video being shot, or I could have an influence, or there was we were at an event where there was some objectionable stuff going on, the women at that time were not open to me being critical. And I would ask questions like, so how did you end up doing this? Because I was working with rap music and working with in hip-hop music in Atlanta, a lot of our first levels of getting it played is within the strip clubs.
Right. That's what...
So I spent a lot of time in the strip clubs. And I spent a lot of time talking because I wanted to understand. Like, so how did you end up doing that? Because there were some things that no one should see. I mean, there's no reason for a woman to spit golf balls out of her Gucci, okay? I don't understand. So I was clearly wanted to know. So how did you, because I never thought about that. So why don't you just break it down to me, you know, on how you went from this to that.
So right there. No. So in that moment, or I guess when you're creating your art, away from the moment of the music, but even with those images that you can reflect on now, how does that stay with you when you create your own art now?
It has to do with my source material.
Okay.
All my images are based on vintage and contemporary photographs. So I am seeking images that reflect how I feel about the female body, how I feel about my body, how I feel about African-American women, how we should be seen. So I start there. Those negative images are not part of my library for me to choose from.
From a context standpoint, and I'm asking purely out of curiosity, given the time in which those vintage images were current, were those images seen as exploitative in that moment as well, or did we sort of remove ourselves, or did the distance from that moment make it a little bit easier for us to embrace that?
There was a different definition of exploitive.
Okay.
There was, we weren't as comfortable as a society in the 30s, 40s, and 50s of having widely distributed images that we have now. So there was, when I look at Jackie Orme's work and the images that I was surprised and shocked when I first started doing research, and her Torchy character is a pinup girl, you know, which was also something that was very accepted in our culture. But she also had this messaging, you know, that went along with her cartoons and her comic strips. So it was a balance. She so successfully was able to have a very strong sexual image that was distributed that didn't seem to have lost integrity or grace in my eyes and what I saw. But the other thing is that Jackie Orme's adult images look like Jackie. That's what she looked like. If you see a photo of her and then you see a photo of Torchy or one of her other characters, they all have the short hair. They all have the figure that she had. So I saw her reproducing herself in these images and an acceptance of who she is. And that's what I gravitated towards.
What has been the response, if you've had conversation about your work with other women and how they embrace or sort of get what you're trying to inspire or challenge, if you will, with your work? What has been the response from other women about your work or even Jackie's work?
There is delight. There is a very positive response. They're surprised because not a lot of people have heard about Jackie Orms, who was the first African-American cartoonist. And then when I tell them that the images that I present in my work are taken from her work, and I pretty much stay true to form, even though I'm using a lot of silhouettes and I strip it down a lot, I'm still keeping the form the same. And when I start telling people how these are the images that were distributed in the Black community, in Black newspapers, in this time period, we just didn't know that. I mean, a lot of people don't know that. Very few, actually maybe two or three people do or are aware of her, but they don't understand the rich history that how groundbreaking she was to do this at that time.
So talk more about Jackie, if you will, in terms of the time period in which mm-hmm. she worked and maybe what her legacy should be,
okay,
if you will.
Well, let me tell you how I discovered her. I was working on doing research on what I wanted to create, getting really focused, and I was given the assignment to look for, to research my great uncle, who was a great painter, illustrator, writer, and he also did cartoon series. That's how he supported himself. And so I'm doing all this research on his work, and I'm coming back to class, and I'm telling my mentor, I was like, he does cowboys and Indians. It's not connecting to me. And Michael will tell me, well, just keep digging. Okay, we haven't exhausted this. And one day I found her autobiography. And when I opened it up, a whole new world opened up for me. She's the first African-American cartoonist, very successful businesswoman. She's self-taught. She had decided at an early age that she wanted to be a cartoonist, so she didn't have any role models. There were no other cartoonists out, especially women of color cartoonists out there. But she was very clear on what she wanted to do, and she did that. She worked for two newspapers, the Chicago Defender and the Pittsburgh Courier. And she had three different comic strips that she did. And she was able to incorporate fashion. She presented African-American women in a way that we weren't commonly portrayed in the media. During that particular period of time, Black women weren't seen as glamorous unless they were in the media entertainers. But the everyday average woman was not seen as being such a fashionable, glamorous woman like her white counterparts. And Jackie presented that, like, yeah, we're not all either entertainers or nannies and, you know, your servants or, you know. And she presented that, and she also, her story is really amazing because she was very clear on what she wanted, and she did it very well in a male-dominated world. She held her own. She incorporated social issues in her work in very clever ways. She was an activist. She was very clear about, I am going to talk about the issues that are important to our community. And she did that.
Switching gears just a bit, but still focusing on this pop culture fascination with the female body. I noticed in a couple of your pieces that you used Barbie as a subject.
Yes.
So talk to me about what Barbie represents to you.
Okay. I'm having so much fun with that series. Okay, the history with that series. In 2008, Vogue Italia came out with the Black Barbie issue. And it was part of their black issue, where they would feature all African American models wearing the latest fashion. So they came out with the black issue, and then as a supplement for the anniversary of Barbie's 50th birthday, they took that photo shoot and recreated these Barbies based upon the black models, and different settings, and it's a whole collector's supplement that you can't even get now. Well, yeah, you can get it for like $350 on Amazon. So my best friend had got the issue, and she says, wow, look at this. And it connected to me because as a little girl, I had Barbies, but my Barbies did not look like that. My Barbies looked like, my first Barbies were white, and then eventually I got some black Barbies. But the first thing I thought was like, wow, I really wish I would have had those Barbies. Now, so I decided to play with it, and I realized that Barbie has been a symbol of the ideal woman's for a lot of generations of little girls. And it's so unrealistic and so, actually it's kind of unhealthy. Well, not actually, it is for that to be the only stereotype of the type of the ideal, fashionable doll, for millions of little girls had an impact on our body images. You know, we're always trying to be thin. We're always trying, you know. So anyway, so I was playing around with that, and I took the Barbies and I made them blue because I wanted to remove the racial identity of the Barbies and just play with them. So they were just fun. They were fun. I was reconnecting to my childhood because I played with dark Barbies, and I made them blue because I wanted to just play with that. Just play around with the idea of what if these Barbies, would I have a different ideal if my Barbies were not white Barbies? So I'm playing around with that. Then I'm playing around with the image of the Barbie and having her go through different motions of I have her flipping. I have her doing all kind of things, and it's just fascinating to me to play with this little doll as an adult in the medium of paint. I don't know where I'm going with it, but I'm having a great time with it, and I've produced them fairly large, 48 by 48. I'm a Barbie purist. I didn't realize how controversial Barbie was until after I'd done a couple of them, I started doing research. So, okay, what are you trying to connect to? What are you trying to say? And then all this political information about how it's wrong to have Barbie, and now we're creating these Barbies that are more true to they're true to a physical form, you know, where you know, her waist is large enough to where she can accommodate all the organs that every human being has, and her neck is not so thin and stuff like that. And I realize I'm still kind of attached to the original Barbie because the original Barbie has meaning to me because my mother made my Barbie doll clothes. And me and Barbie went on adventures with my other dolls. And she wasn't the leader of my other dolls, but because she was so well marketed, she had more stuff. So she kind of was the Barbie that had the car and my Keisha doll was in there, and we would rescue my brother's G.I. Joe, who was always getting in trouble. And we had an adventure. So I'm tapping into a child, my childhood, in a way that is delightful, and I'm still exploring that.
So given how we connect with the female body in human form as well as in dolls and in our imagination, what do you think our relationship with that form will look like in 10 years, 20 years, into the future?
That's an interesting question. There's so much going on. We're at a time in our history where, as a society, we have to address some really serious questions. And they deal around how we treat the female body. And what I see and what I would hope to see is that the connection of the female body is, I feel like there's a disconnect between the human element of it and the human body as an object. We kind of praise it a lot and worship it, but it's not like we worship it in its totality. It's just a beautiful object, or an object, a sexual object, or an object to be obtained. And so my wish is that there would be more of a holistic viewing and treating. The way certain societal situations, such as rape, is treated. You know, the whole scandal that's going on with University of Virginia, and how they are addressing college campuses across the country are addressing with the violation of the female body. There still seems to be this disconnect with we're all human. But we've taken one half of our society, and we've made them objects. And we've built a whole commerce on it. Makeup, fashion, it used to promote every single solitary material possession that we have. Females are used to promote it in some form or fashion, just about, except things like, you know, pest control. And I'm sure that's going to, if they figure out a way to make pest control sexy, I'm sure they will. I see there's a lot of disconnects going on in society, period. I feel it more this time than ever, because how we're so connected, and at the ease of connection with the internet and all of that we're moving far. It's still we're moving far away from our center and who we are, and seeing us as a total package. You know, we're segmented into little parts. Did I answer your question?
That was great. That was great. Tracy Urell. Tracy, let everyone know how they can find out more about your work.
Yes, you can find out more about my work. I'm in the process of continuously update the website, but it's tracymurrell.com. I'm also the curator at Hammond's House Museum, so you can always catch me there when we have exhibitions, and reach out to me online.
Tracy Murrell, thank you for your time.
Thank you.